B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, the Town Fair Tire Studios. We got to send the call out. Dan was just saying in my headset, he's absolutely right. We got to send the call back out to... Oh, gosh, what's his name?
He's Phil Vincent.
Phil Vincent.
Yeah. Play the hits,
Cranston.
Baby.
That's right.
Yep.
Cranston, the most rockin' city in Rhode Island, who wrote that song. I remember when he approached us and said he wanted to write a theme for the show. I said, all I want in it, like, you can put whatever lyrics you want, but I want gratuitous shredding. And then we got that masterpiece there that might have just 40 seconds straight of just pure on 40. Pentatonic scales.
So you want more? You want more shredding?
No, I want an updated version because
updated shredding.
As Dan was telling me in my headset, you know, there's some outdated stuff in there, like the space between your teeth, Wallach.
That's right.
Has since been fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can we write, John? We should write some new lyrics.
Wallach's in the second seat.
The Big something. Johnson chair.
That's right. Wallach's in the second seat. He's swinging his meat.
It just writes itself.
That's what we need. Okay. So Phil Vincent, mm-hmm. of the most rocking city of all time, Cranston, mm-hmm. We could use an updated one. That would be phenomenal.
I don't know if we're down for more Phil Vincent. But now that, not today because it's so effing cold outside, but if the weather gets warmer, Cranston, probably the home of the jean short. Maybe he could write a song about guys in jean shorts. No?
Oh, well, I mean, that's just the Ballad of Rhode Island.
Back in the day when I used to work in Providence, there was an amusement park called Rocky Point. Jean shorts galore.
Okay, today, not back in the day, John. Today.
Yeah.
I was watching, I think his name is Ken Reed. He's very funny. We've had him on before. He's the TV guide dude, the guy who has all the TV guides. He was on some thing I was watching with, there's these guys who find, it's Found Footage Fest. They find all these old videos of like weird commercials and strange things that existed years ago, like public access shows. It's a really, really cool channel. But he was talking to them about growing up in New England and all of the different commercials that would stick in your head, and he said that the Rocky Point one from, I guess, what, the 80s? What would be like the prime time for Rocky Point doing commercials on like WBZ?
Early
back in the day.
90s, the, okay. Late 80s, yeah, in there.
And he played,
come with your family.
Yeah, you asked.
Come with your friends. Yeah. That's the Rocky Point tradition.
Get Phil Vincent to redo this with some shredding.
This was on TV like three times an hour. You couldn't escape it. You'd sing that song in your head. It was when you lived in Rhode Island, Channel 10, like right before Carpano's Sports Report. He's still working there, actually, I think.
When did Rocky Point go out of business?
Like,
when
did it, late 90s, I want to say.
Okay, there's nothing
1994,
like...
1994,
yeah.
You know what? I could look at pictures of abandoned amusement parks, like, all day. And they're fascinating. The best are the ones that have been there for... Because you can't just, like, demolish them. And some of them are usually on property that no one else is going to buy, and just weeds end up growing. There's this one amusement park, which is kind of twisted, if you think about it. I'm surprised that, like, some, you know, metal band hasn't used it as, like, a backdrop for the front cover of their album. But there's this one place, and I think it's, like, outside of Baltimore, that was an amusement park that was Wizard of Oz themed. And it lasted for maybe 10 years. And now it's completely abandoned. I guess people break in all the time to get pictures, mm-hmm. but it's like the Yellow Brick Road, but creepy. Look at the thorns. It's not supposed to be that way. I love it. And there was like, I guess this one park, amusement park, I think in New Jersey, that closed down, that just got sold for like $1.1 million. And I'm like, that's how much an amusement park costs?
That's
like, yeah, that's like... Yeah. Half of a brownstone in the South End.
No.
Yeah, it was called... It was called Watkins Regional Park.
The one in New Jersey that just got sold?
Well, Maryland. That was the one.
Oh, okay.
It was 800 acres of land, all Wizard of Oz.
800 acres for... Oh, that isn't the one that got sold for $1.1 million.
That's the Wizard... Okay. And I don't even know if it was $1 million, but it was some amusement park that got sold for next to nothing.
All right.
And I was like, wow, I mean... That's all it costs to just be master of the tilt-a-whirl. And I mean, it wasn't quite, you know, this wasn't a Six Flags level park. I think it was more of like a Old Orchard Beach level amusement park.
Now that you brought up Maine, let me discuss York's Wild Kingdom with Dan over here.
Oh, hell yeah.
I want to know how much that property would go for, because ain't nobody visiting that when they close it down. It's not in a good spot. It's off away from the road behind fences and trees.
John, funny you should mention that. There is a significant amount of development that has gone on around it.
Okay.
And each and every year, the owner sort of pops his head up and says, hey, you know, it's for sale, for the right price. So he's never officially like putting it on sale, saying, hey, we're gonna open the cages and free these animals.
All these animals with one eye are for sale.
Yeah. Right.
A turtle just sitting in the dirt going.
I don't mean to besmirch the honor of York's Wild Kingdom, because I've never been there.
But I have, though. But I can speak to this.
But I've been to a ton of parks like this. Like, there's parks like this like all over America. They just pop up. And you're right, John. It's like the two or three kind of sad carousel and like a bumper car, and then you're right. It's like, hey, it's an owl without an eye that got shot out by a redneck.
There's a Ferris wheel that goes about 20 feet in the air. Yeah.
Turtle just sitting in the sand.
Right. Behind the bad wooden fence, that's where all the animals are, to the left. And then you have the go-kart track with the gasoline smell to the right.
Yep. By the way, you don't understand, John, unless you've like lived in a different part of the country. Like, New England has like a inordinate amount of like knockoff amusement parks.
It does?
Like, oh yeah. Like I mean, it's not like this everywhere else.
Canopy Lake in Salem, New Hampshire.
You got Canopy Lake.
Six
you've got
Flags.
Six Flags is like, you know, that's one of the hot top two. I'm talking like you've got you know Santa's Village.
Yep. Yeah.
You've got Storyland.
Yep.
You used to have that one that we just played the commercial for, which is now which
Rocky
is now
Point. Yep.
Rocky Point.
What about that in New Hampshire that would chase you with the gun with the
Trading Post.
Thank you, guys.
Sure. With the Wild Man. You've got Old Orchard Beach, the Fun Town Splash Town, which is right up there.
Salisbury Beach has one, too, right?
I was just
Do they have an amusement park, too?
A little bit of a boardwalk with boardwalk. That feel, with that like sort of carnival feel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like you don't understand. It's not like that in other parts of the country. Like, they have Six Flags, and maybe that's it.
What about, like, water parks? Like,
Oh, it's a good point.
You talk about
Water Country?
I saw that damn Water Country Whalen Park commercial.
Oh, the Water Country.
Like,
Water Country. Oh, it's you hear that.
Opens May 12th, Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
There you go. Have some fun. Dun,
dun, dun. Have a whale of a time.
Oh, Edaville, that's another
Edaville
one.
Like, Railroad, you know, yep.
That's down there. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, the Palace Playland, that's right near, I think it's in Sacco, I believe. You're the main master,
but,
Dan O'Brien.
But you said knockoff.
I don't go that far.
Like, what's a knockoff?
Water Whiz, not one of the big, like, it's not Six Flags, or it's, you know, it's not, you know, Disney or something.
Okay. It's like a two-star hotel,
by the way. Some of those are way more fun than going to the big ones. Like, I love Canopy Lake. Like, Canopy Lake's great because there's never any lines. It's like you just it's like real chill. I got and by the way, they got one coaster that is legitimate called Untamed. It might last 25 seconds, but the first thing you do is you go straight up, and then the roller coaster takes you your face down, literally parallel to the ground, and you just drop.
Okay, are there rides at Kimball Farm or not?
Kimball Farm, they've got like
I know they have a bunch of stuff back there.
No, they have more activities like batting cages and golf, driving range.
Okay.
That's like a putt-putt place on steroids. Like, that's
that's got a lot of stuff back there.
No, there's like Water Whiz is another one that they've got. Yeah. You've got, Coco Key. You've got,
I don't know what that is.
The Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah.
I mean, there are.
Ones, right.
There's like a zillion of these. This is not normal. Like, in other parts of the country, it's not like this. They're everywhere.
Yes, because for long periods of time in the winter, we have to find the Coco Key and those indoor ones, the Great Wolf.
Oh, sure.
Lodge. You have to go and find things to do indoors.
That's but then there's like places like, I mean, when does, you know, how many months is, what's it called, open? Canopy Lake. That probably opens in May, and then I know it's open in October because they have the spooky haunted house there, right there, which they never seems to close.
6 months, you know.
6 months, all right. Well, there you go. But I saw that, was watching that thing, and I heard the theme song to whatever the name of that place was that we just played.
Rocky Point.
I guess, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Get the dude from Cranston to remake this.
This is New England Patriots and We.
Yeah.
It is.
It's probably
the same, like, jingle writer that made this. What is Quassy Amusement Park? Lake Compounds? Is that New York? People are sending me all these ones. I've never heard of half of these. But Clark's is the only one where you get a crazy man with a shotgun chasing you down.
I went to Clark's last year, man. You get a bear show. So, like, the bear will do some tricks.
It's the saddest bears in the world.
Actually, the bumper boats were really sad. Because, like, they just didn't go fast. And they couldn't bump.
You were in a bumper car?
I'm not going in a bumper car.
I would pay money to get a picture of you in a bumper car.
The thing would sink.
I just want anything. I just want to see the smile on your face. You're in the bumper car. Just Joe in the car. Just hi.
People come running. Look, Bundy's in a bumper boat. Quick. Get a picture.
That'd be funny.
So you saw, because the Wild Man's not the same Wild Man.
No,
like the Wild Man they used to have.
They got a new Wild Man. They put you on a train, and then, like, you know, they leased the train, the tracks. But, yeah, you go through, and then all of a sudden it says, hey, watch out for the Wild Man, because the Wild Man lives there. He doesn't want any trespassers. And so you go through, and then he says, hey, I'm going to get you. And then he gets in this cart, like his own cart.
It's a jalopy, and he shoots a shotgun as he's pulling up, right?
That's right, yeah. And then you're supposed to say, scram, you old goat.
That's it. That's it. I was thinking, it's like, go away, you old bootlicker. It's scram, you old goat, right? That's what. And when you do that, he just, like, he loses his, like, hillbilly powers. Is that what I was
so like? Yeah, he gets so mad about it. But, yeah, I went last year, and
why?
Let's just say, well, I brought a seven-year-old. But I don't know if I'll be ever going back, though. Like, I was sitting there, and I'm like, this is probably it.
this is the last time.
But I love bears, man. I love bears. Like, I don't want to see a bear in person, but I like to be up front and close to bear. I just love bears, man. I don't know what it is. Just
polar
no,
bears?
No, like bears.
Brown bears.
Like it's down.
Like yeah.
Joe fits right in.
Take the ferry.
Go right over. I do fit right in down there, but no. Again, I probably told you. Well, I sent you the video of what happened last year. No.
Yeah. Tell about you, dude. You. I mean, you, listen.
You were popular. Good for you.
You would be a hit over there during Bear Week. By the way, I'm getting some fairly creepy pictures. I guess Rocky Point is now an open public park, but they haven't torn down everything. Like, in the middle of this big field where they're trying to make it look like this nice place to fly a kite, they still have the gigantic iron stands where, I guess, the sky buckets used to be.
Well.
So, like, you know, where it used to go from one side of the park to the next, and there's, like, these weird pieces of iron coming out of the ground that used to hold, I don't know, like, the Ferris wheels and stuff. That is fairly creepy. Canopy has a wooden roller coaster. How is it still active? Because it rules. No, Canopy's roller coasters are legitimate.
What about the Yankee Cannonball? Is that thing still going? The white?
Yeah, that is that the splash one?
No, the white, the old white one.
I think that's still
ancient. But that thing. Oh, so the Turkish Twist, is that still at Canopy Lake?
I believe it is.
You just lean up against the wall and the floor gives out.
Yeah, you can't breathe for five minutes. Yeah,
it's
at the Gravitron.
Yes, that is. As when I took my kids there a couple summers ago, it was still there.
I can't do that anymore.
Like,
something happened one day where I can't do spinning rides. But they've got, that one Untamed is legitimate. That, I mean, you go face first straight down, and I kid you not, I think the entire roller coaster lasts 45 seconds, and the first 30 seconds is just it lifting you up to the top of this drop, and then you go down and head over that way. Someone says Santa's Village is not bad if you have kids. Sweet pool area. Oh, yeah. If you have time to kill. No problem at all. Matter of fact, I don't mind going to any of these, but I'm just saying
I do because of the amount of time you have to invest to get there. And the lack of a four-lane highway that runs near there. Once you're there with the kids and they're young enough, it's fine. They're occupied. They like it. But the ride there and the ride home, that's the problem.
Go stay at that haunted hotel up there, the one that looks like the one from The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
The Mount Washington thing. It's like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But I have stayed there. And there is a room that is indeed haunted there. All right. Let's get to everything that happened last night. We had a Red Sox game. Joe Murray, not a fan of yesterday's pitcher, and apparently he said some stuff post game that doesn't really paint him to be a very smart gentleman. On top of that, we got to get. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on with all of this. All I know is that there is an entire region of the world that now hates John Henry worse than anybody in Boston, and for that reason alone, I'm fascinated by it. We will get into that as well right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and Garrett Richards, he's not very good right now.
And a 1-2 pitch. Nowhere to go, and that gets him.
Yeah, he doesn't look real happy there. Probably scared him more than anything else.
And the 0-1. Base hit into right field. And another run will score. And it is now 4-0.
That is Nesson, and yanked after a little more than four innings. Garrett Richards, sans mustache. The thing's gone now, right?
And it was if shaving that mustache sapped his strength and stripped him of his spin rate powers.
Look what happened to Sampson. That's right. Yeah. Well, he was the mastermind behind the Red Sox loss to the Jays yesterday. Four runs on four hits and six walks. And as you heard there, a dude got hit. Guy just couldn't get a slider working all night. Joe, you can't stand this guy, right?
Bury him in the bullpen. Bury him back there. He literally, this team's been good to watch, right? I mean, I've watched every game. I really have.
A lot of stuff to like, and I wasn't expecting any of this. As I said, usually the Red Sox are the fish tank. They're on in the background until the playoffs are over, and that's when I, for the Celtics and the Bruins, and that's when I start paying attention. But they have gotten me. Like, they've demanded attention because they've been so entertaining. But you're right. He seems to be one of the few things on this team that's not really working.
It's a scheduled loss. He's up there. It's a scheduled loss. His 6.5 ERA, and John's mentioned this, but this guy is hyped up to have this spin rate and these intangibles. I see nothing that's good about
him. No. When the Red Sox signed him, it you can throw out the fact that he hasn't really been healthy for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, he's constantly hurt. And when he is not hurt and pitching, he has pitched well. But you have to go back to 2015 to find that. But the other thing is, when he was signed, and you say a bad word about him, all the people that look at advanced stats and spin rates, you don't understand. This guy has great stuff. He's able to control it. He's really tough to hit. And I've watched him, too. That's his fourth start of the year. I've watched him, too. He's not good. He's not nearly good enough.
He had two okay starts. Right? Like, so he started up. The first, obviously, outing was a disaster.
Yes.
But then, even though he's 0-2, I thought the last couple of ones weren't too bad, right?
They were fine. You know, you give up two runs in five innings. That's fine. You know, not something that's going to win you any Cy Youngs. And
he's been erratic, though.
Yeah, but I mean, he's okay. If he can get through five innings and give up two runs, that's a major league win. But, you know, that's not a very good ERA. He doesn't deserve to be in the rotation. He doesn't. And with Tanner Houck just sitting there,
that's right.
Give him the opportunity.
And that's probably not going to. That's probably going to happen sooner than not if he continues this.
But
way,
the record of the other starters compared to him, 8-2 with a 3.84 ERA in 13 outings,
mm-hmm.
And then there's him. Like, he's the bad spot on the team. He's the black eye of the team right now. And I don't know. Whenever he goes out there, I don't think the team doesn't even support him. His body language sucks. I mean, we're talking like John Lackey level of body language.
You know what? I haven't noticed it, and I think you guys mentioned it last time. Is he showing up, in the outfield?
He's a little demonstrative when he's out there.
That's inexcusable. You can suck. I mean, it's just sometimes you can't help sucking, but you can help being a dick to the guys who are trying to help you out. Like, I can't stand that. That, to me, is one of the ultimate sign of bad character, is when somebody, like, you know, drops a ball in the outfield and you throw your arms up and you look at that. That's inexcusable. That's something you can control. And that, if you want me to hate you as a player, that's probably the number one thing you could do as a pitcher.
All right, give Chaim Bloom credit. He spent most of the offseason, like, looking under rocks and in the back of refrigerators for people that can come play for his team. And give him credit, they're about 20 games in. He hasn't missed on a lot. All these spare parts are performing very well, except for this one. And Hunter Renfroe, I guess, is another guy you can look at and go, not really. Well, but those are the only two. I mean, take a look at all those extra pieces he put in the bullpen and threw together. They're all pitching well.
Not bad.
All of them. Yep. I didn't think that would happen at all. But guys like Sawamura and Barnes and Ottavino and, who's Garrett Whitlock, the kid who never pitched above double A and wears number 72 because that's, you know, they didn't think he was worthy of a number of a major leaguer. I mean, he's gone out there. No one scored on him yet. But these guys, Garrett Richards, Hunter Renfroe, these are the spare parts that are going to fall off this car before long.
Well, one bit of good news is that Xander's bat is back.
He golfed that one. High deep drive, hit it for left. And that one gets out of here. Home run. Xander for the second night in a row. And that tightens it up. It's a one-run game.
Yeah, that's nice. Second homer of the season. And unfortunately, however, the story was Garrett Richards, who fell to 0-2, as I was mentioning. Here's Alex Cora trying to explain the stuff that you guys were trying to explain.
Today, there were some pitches to Semien that were erratic, right, up and in. You know, his fastball cuts, it sinks. You know, as long as he's in the strike zone, we really don't care. You know, we like him to attack with it. I think he was erratic today with it too. But overall, in his three outings, it's been kind of like the most erratic one, even compared to the one against Baltimore.
I wonder if he was erratic.
Yeah, it's not good when the manager says it once, let alone three times.
Didn't even say, like, you know, his fastball looked good.
No, it didn't.
We like this cutter today.
No, his fastball was all over the place. I could have thrown pitches further out, as far outside the strike zone as that guy.
Six walks, though, come on.
No.
Get out of here.
Well, I have not heard this, but apparently Garrett spoke to the media afterwards. Let's take a listen. Here is Garrett Richards explaining how things didn't go so well yesterday.
I mean, I didn't even pack a jacket for a season until this year. So I'm going on my ninth, almost 10th year. So, you know, it's something different. Nothing that can't be dealt with. I just got to make adjustments. You know, I'm not making excuses. I got to figure out a way to get it done. I mean, we had rain tonight. It was cold. Ugh. There's a lot of things going on. Not something that I'm super concerned with. Obviously, I want to do better and pitch better. You know, I just think the delivery was off a little bit tonight. Just kind of fighting my delivery the whole night. Release point, the elements, kind of the combination of a lot of stuff. Obviously, not good.
You know what? There's another thing that I might have actually read some of these quotes, to be quite honest, now that I think about it. I believe he tagged on to the beginning or after that, I'm not using this as an excuse.
Yeah.
I hate when people do that. It's like, you know, it was really cold, and, you know, I never wear jackets, and, you know, the weather was an issue. I'm not using that as an excuse. Well, then don't mention it. If you're not using an excuse, then don't use it as an excuse.
Well, I mean,
because what you're doing.
My thing, absolutely, but my thing is this, like, if you knew this about the guy, he's never packed a jacket before.
Well,
why did you say that?
I think that was just an anecdote because he's always been playing in San Diego. No. I mean, listen, that sucked because you're right. It was a precursor to him saying that the weather was cold.
Yeah, he pitched in L.A. for like 7 years and San Diego the last two.
Yeah.
He's a West Coast guy.
I understand why he said that.
From California,
but using that to set it up as an excuse and then saying that I'm not going to use this as an excuse, it's like, all right. Dude, come on, man. And you know what, all people want is honesty and accountability. You know, that was one thing Josh Beckett did. Is Josh Beckett would be like, I sucked, I was awful, my stuff wasn't there. And you know what, people respect that. Just come out and be we all saw it. Don't come out with excuses unless it has something to do with, you know, like an injury that you're playing through. Don't just come out and say you were awful and you're going to do your best to get it better next time. Chris Sale used to do that all the time. Fall on the sword when he sucked. And there was a lot of that with Chris Sale. But no one hated Chris Sale. And a lot of it's because they were accountable afterwards. Don't give us this, it was cold and I didn't have my windbreaker.
Nobody told you that Boston's cold in April. You weren't prepared for that.
So what's going to happen when it's 95 out and you suck?
No. He's going to light it up. When we get to July, if he's still in the rotation, and that's a coin flip. He may not be with this team.
He's got like two starts left. Yeah.
Maybe he'll pull a Clay Buchholz and say that it was too hot.
Oh, he lost 10 pounds. Lost 7 pounds during one start. Clay Buchholz.
Yeah, Buchholz was one of those guys that used to do that. I'm not going to use an excuse. Then he would name a bunch of stuff that was going wrong. That was an excuse. But yeah, that's all people want. Just be honest. We saw it. We know it was bad. And people will leave you alone after that. But you hear that, you know, I didn't have my windbreaker. And it's just like, all right, dude, come on.
But he's going to be the focal point now, Rich. Like, the team will win games, you know. They might have a hiccup here and there, like Nick Pivetta tonight or whatever. But when they'll start rolling, and then it'll be the Garrett Richards start, and we'll just pile on and crush him constantly.
Ryan Johnson just tweeted to us. He goes, great, another pitcher who can't pitch in cold weather. That won't come into play if you make it to the playoffs in October. I know. It's like, someone's just got to sit him down and go, dude, come on. You can't, of all the places to use cold weather, don't do it here.
Grow a beard.
Yeah, and grow a beard. That's right. Keep your face
I don't
pull
understand.
A Joe Murray. Come
why
on.
Why shave that marvelous mustache off, the one that went from like cheekbone to cheekbone?
It's gone. Now his mediocre powers are gone. Yeah. All right, so real quick, after the break, we got to get to this John Henry thing. As I said, I still don't 100% understand what's going on. All I know is that he is getting crushed, absolutely crushed, to the point where he had to make a statement. Think of all the bad things that have happened, like, you know, just random things like Mookie and all that, and where he hasn't spoken at all, and it was so bad that he had to make a statement. John, hold on,
okay,
because we're going to come back. We're going to discuss this at length, because I, now I want to hear some of these clips from John Henry. This is fascinating to me because he has an entire region of the world that is pissed off at him. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Back. What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And okay, I've been holding off talking about this for a while now because, to be quite honest, after reading numerous articles about it, I still don't quite understand what the hell is going on. All I know is that there are tons of people pissed at John Henry. And I mean really pissed at John Henry. So, okay, as we know, John Henry, not only one of the owners of the Red Sox, but also of Liverpool FC, one of the biggest soccer clubs in the world. Now, and if I'm not mistaken, when he purchased it, there was already a little bit of a problem with him being an American coming in and taking over this club. Now, stop me if I'm wrong, both of you guys, which, because I probably am. So let me just see if I can just summarize it. In an attempt for what seemed like a massive money grab, John Henry was a gigantic force in trying to start a breakaway soccer league with the 12 biggest soccer teams in the world, essentially dismantling the way that it all used to be set up, rivalries, schedules, etc., correct?
Yes. Correct. I thought it was just kind of a breakaway league to perform playoffs with, but apparently no, this is an actual league that the 12 of the best teams in all of Europe would join.
It would basically be like
six,
if I'm not
teams,
mistaken.
Six teams from the Premier League and then six other teams that are at the top of their leagues elsewhere in Europe.
Would the equivalent be like if it was this, as if the NBA got rid of all of the teams that never made the playoffs, like the Sacramento Kings and and other cruddy teams? Like,
it would be like the big market teams, like the best teams in, say, this year, for example, the top eight teams in the NBA just decided to go, you know what? We're good every year. We're going to go start our own league. The rest of you are screwed.
Okay, and there wouldn't be a time that they would play the other ones. This would just
no.
be a new league.
Okay, I don't right. think so.
I think you're right. I could be wrong. But to me now, that almost doesn't even matter. Because basically, after all of this happened and the announcement came out that this was going to be, and once again, Henry was a massive driving force behind this happening, the fans went ballistic. And the whole thing backfired within 48 hours with almost every team that was involved saying, holy crap, we didn't think this one through. And they won by one, each one backed out. And the one thing about European soccer, if you think the Boston sports media is tough here, oh boy, it's like the high school paper compared to the scathing crap that they write overseas.
The BBC, you got all these other like publications out there. The biggest issue here is they didn't even put out like a tweet like, hey, what would you think if we ever did, if there was a Super League, and like
there was no trial balloon on it. No, you know what I mean? There was no hint that
they were
this
like,
was coming.
Screw you fans,
pow, smack in the face.
Screw you fans, and screw anybody who enjoys the World Cup.
And even though this is something that a bunch of different teams thought was okay, and they were going to go with it, John Henry's become the face of this, and he is getting crushed. And a lot of it has to do, as I said, is, you know, with the fact that, you know, he's this American who came in and he's, you know, been on the forefront of it all, but he is getting crushed. And Shaughnessy actually did something kind of funny. I'm sure he just rubbed his hands together knowing he was going to be able to do this article, but he found some examples over there in the English media of him getting killed. Sky Sports, which is basically their ESPN. Mm-hmm. There was one of the commentators said, I actually think the situation with Liverpool's owners is that I don't see see how they can continue. I don't see a future for the ownership of the FSG at Liverpool on the back of this. Mm-hmm. This will never be forgotten. I think the best thing for them would be to find a new buyer. I think it will be very difficult for them to have any sort of relationship with Liverpool supporters and the club going forward. Because, by the way, apparently the players were pissed about this as well. Like, everybody outside of the owners seemed to just go, what are you thinking?
The BBC and the Midday Show did a good job with this. The BBC actually sent a reporter from London to Fenway Park to chase John Henry up the street when he arrived at the ballpark. Mr. Henry, could you please explain your... I mean, he wouldn't talk to her. He out of his limo and with his umbrella went inside. But he didn't... That tells you how wild this is.
Well, one of the ex-captains of Liverpool is now working for their version of ESPN Sky Sports, and he said, certainly with Liverpool, and I can talk with some authority here, I think it's impossible for those guys to turn up at Anfield ever again. Will they run the club from the other side of the Atlantic? Possibly they'll hang on to it, but they are only custodians. So they are pissed. So John Henry, here he is, a guy who hasn't spoken with Red Sox media in 14 months. And think about...
Not a word about last season from John Henry and the disaster that was.
What has gone on in that time? You've had the shortened season, the pandemic, all of that weird-ass negotiation that's going on. But most egregious, the Mookie trade, and he hadn't addressed any of them. So this thing overseas was such a cluster F that he had to release a video message basically begging his fans for forgiveness. Let's take a listen. Dan, you got it?
I want to apologize to all the fan supporters of Liverpool Football Club for the disruption I caused over the past 48 hours. Goes without saying, but should be said, that the project put forward was never going to stand without the support of the fans. No one ever thought differently in England.
Okay, stop. Could anyone in the world have less energy than John Henry?
I think he's taking a crap.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Now, the question was, did he do this at Fenway Park, or did he do this from his yacht? Where did he film this thing?
The fact that he hasn't spoken and that he felt he had to do this, I mean, he must truly be scared that there is a real revolt to make him sell this team. I mean, everything I'm reading, he's the face of it now, fair or unfair. And by the way, I'm not someone who's going to sit here and criticize him as the owner of the Red Sox. People who do are idiots. I mean, that guy came in and say what you will, they have won 4 World Series since he's been here.
Yes, but you know what? There is something to be said about him not speaking to... He can certainly be criticized for not speaking to any of the media for the last 14 months. What happened with this team?
He can be criticized.
Absolutely can be criticized for that.
And it's fun to criticize him, but I'm going to give a guy who came in and got you 4 World Series in 20 years.
You know what? And he did a crap load of interviews all the way through, and then it got tough, and he didn't.
It's true.
And Larry Lucchino was the guy who used to speak for the Red Sox.
Yes, he ran blocker, but you know what? Larry, for all intents and purposes, didn't get forced out, but he left. He's working in Worcester now with the AAA team and getting that together. But John Henry can absolutely be. He's not above that. I don't care how many World Series he won.
We're in the sun here.
You can guess you're in the sun. You're going to melt. But I mean, this guy sounds like he's on death's door. He's way younger than he sounds. Like, that's one thing about John Henry. Yeah. I think he's only in his 60s, right?
I'm going to have to check that. Go ahead.
Henry's younger than you think he is.
Speak amongst yourselves. I'm going to go look this up.
He might finally be 70, but he's looked like he's 90 for about 40 years.
Yeah. But, Rich, you should have heard. I heard some audio from, like, what was going on out in Liverpool. And, like, they were like, these scum traitors. And, like, you should have heard the accents, Hooligan Central.
All right, let's let the rest of this roll. I want to hear the rest of John Henry.
The project put forward was never going to stand without the support of the fans. No one ever thought differently in England. Over these 48 hours, you were very clear that it would not stand. We heard you. I heard you. And I want to apologize to Jurgen, to Billy, to the players, and to everyone who works so hard at LFC to make our fans proud. They have absolutely no responsibility for this disruption. They were the most disruptive.
That's him falling over into the microphone.
This is what hurts most.
All right, stop. Now I can't even take it. All right. Now it's like creepy.
He's 71, so you were close to being right.
See?
He's owned the team for 20 years, and he looked 70 when he took the team over in 2002. How did any of his I'm sure he made all this money by listening to his advisors, by playing things smart, by taking the temperature of before you bought something. And congratulations. You're the owner of a successful franchise in the States and, for the most part, a successful franchise in England. How did anyone in his circle not tell him that this was going to be an epic disaster before he did it?
Because it was a money grab, a blatant, unashamed money grab, and they couldn't see past that. Let's go to Anton in line one. Anton, this is his
point.
What's up, Anton?
Morning.
Hey, so the Super League idea has been kicked around for a while in Europe, and it usually came up when there were renegotiations for the Champions League's rights and the format. But when this whole thing actually became a reality, I didn't realize that John Henry was sort of, I kind of forgot that he was a part of it. And then once his name came up, I was just like, man, this reeks of selling bricks at Fenway. It's like a bunch of white old dudes in their ivory towers, and they have no idea what they're doing. And I know he wasn't supposed to be the president of the league. It was supposed to be Real Madrid's president, but it just feels like he was the sort of ideological, you know, the force behind the throne.
Oh, yeah. No question. And you're right. I mean, he might not be the guy who created this, because you're right. I think it is Real Madrid's president. But he's the guy that the media is having the most fun crushing for this. And that's because of who he is. He's an American who came in and tried to tell all of these people who were born and bred from in these places where they own these teams how to run their league. And that is something that obviously would piss anybody off. So, I mean, it is fun. And I would like to hear some of these clips of, you know, the people over in Manchester and Liverpool and everyone like losing their minds about John Henry. I got no problem with any of that stuff, with all their angry accents.
Wanker.
Yeah, a wanker, I tell you. All right. Well, we'll find some of that, because I'm thoroughly enjoying this, because he's freaking the F out. Like, he's freaking out about it. You know what this is? This is his European storming the 98.5 The Sports Hub Studios moment. Oh. This is his version. This is their
This is worse than that. There are bottles involved now. I mean, the fans aren't taking this. I mean, you think Red Sox fans get pissed? These guys are crazy.
Can you think of an owner in American sports lately? Now, there's been some in the far past.
Oh, Ursay moving the club from Baltimore to Indianapolis.
That's
one.
As close as I was thinking.
How about the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore?
Yeah. I'm talking the last 20 years. Has there been an
James
owner
Bush Orth?
James Bush Orth one.
Victor Kyan.
That's right. That's right. Before the Crafts took over in 20 years ago. Sure.
Because nothing, even Dolan is the closest I can think of in the last like 20 years in American sports where a team has just detested their owner. I can't think of anything this close in the last like 20 or so years.
James Bush Orth one was going to move the team to St. Louis. That was, you know.
But that was how long ago? It was like 25 years ago?
25 years ago.
Yeah,
30 years
all right.
ago.
I'm thinking more recent history. I don't think there's been anything close to this.
How much do people in Washington hate Daniel Snyder?
You know what? Right now, they probably don't have a huge problem with him because the team's going in the right direction.
Yeah, like there's been promise of that for how many years now?
I mean, but last year was kind of encouraging. I mean, the fact that they got Ron Rivera to be the face, he did the one smart thing he did was he got Rivera in there and said, I'm going to step back and you do what you do. And he seems to have kind of cleaned things up a little bit despite all these awful reports and everything going on about him. I mean, he's still there and no one's really talking about him right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
So,
I guess.
All right. Well, I could listen to these Brits crushing them all day. So if we could find some of that stuff, I wouldn't mind playing that in a little bit. All right. 617-779-0985. By the way, Danny Ainge going to be on with us at 9 o'clock. Also, Jake DeBrusk, he'll be on as well. I think he's going to be on at 9:30. That's always one of those calls that we don't quite know exactly.
Oh, he's calling in. He's absolutely calling in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's calling in.
Did he score the game-winning shootout goal
yes.
after he was
yes,
on with us?
Correct.
Kind of figured. Mm-hmm. It's the TNR bump. He believes in it. Whether it's real or not, it doesn't matter. Whether he believes in it, it's the only thing.
Correct.
And he absolutely believes. Okay, nailed it. Donald Sterling. That's right. Donald Sterling.
Oh, there you go.
Nailed
it. Completely forgot. Donald Sterling's the guy. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. I mean, that was bad. That was really, really bad. So, yes, that is a perfect example.
Is there a plan to get DeBrusk to talk to Mike Riley to maybe do a little Sarge salute after a goal, possibly?
Maybe we should just not tell him why. Just say you should just start calling him Sarge.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Please
see if it catches.
Please
on,
make that know? Happen.
It's all good, baby.
Just say, you know, after, like, do us a favor. I'll ask him during a press conference. Do us a favor.
Yeah.
Just say, you know, Mike Riley's out there, and with him, it's all good, baby. I just want to see if he will throw that out there for us. He's done that before in press conference. He's throwing shout-outs to us. Just say, next time Mike Riley does something or has a good game, just say, you know what? I'm looking at Mike Riley out there, and I'm just thinking.
It's all good, baby. Mm-hmm.
And if he could even end with a,
that
would be a bonus. We'll say, you know what? The TNR pump will continue. You're cursed if you don't do it. All right. We will get to a little Brookline 911 right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.